Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy, guest hosting for Mary today. And our guest coming up a little bit later on in the hour, it's Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates. Hopefully we'll find out more about if there are any road closures or any kind of diversions that folks need to worry about this morning with all the rain that we got. And in studio now, it's Dr. Brandon Breeding. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, how was rain at your place? You okay? No basement flooding or anything?
No basement flooding.
That's good.
Pretty good. So
that's good. So you're going to have to kind of guide me through this. I will admit this right off. You are a chiropractor, but you also offer some alternative forms of medical treatment that you found to have had success with.
We do a lot of things, but the main thing I do when I come in here is I have articles that I've looked at that have been around, and just kind of let people know what kind of is up and coming in health in the news.
Okay.
So we just kind of go over what we've seen and discuss, well, why that makes sense or why that doesn't make sense or all that sort of stuff. So
okay, for instance, the first thing that you have.
Yeah, for instance, the first article I have is an article about how sleep apnea has a strong correlation with eroding memory over time. So not getting that oxygen when you sleep at night, they've already shown a lot of harm happening to, say, heart health, gut health, these sort of things, which it all makes sense, right? Every nerve in your body needs certain things to fire, right? Your brain does not work well without oxygen. You know, you can go months without eating, days without water, minutes without oxygen. Right. So this makes sense. So if we're having sleep apnea and we're not getting enough oxygen, we're not oxygenating our exchanging that gas in our lungs well to oxygenate our body, where does the damage happen? Well, the damage happens in lots of different places. And sometimes it builds up more in certain areas versus other areas based on a person's own biology, how their body is built. But they've definitely found a correlation. They can't say causation, but I would say that there's probably some causation there between sleep apnea, where you don't breathe well in your sleep. You literally stop breathing at times when you sleep, and how your memory works. Let me see which forms of memory it was. Working memory for sure. So
okay.
That memory you have where it's just like your memory for recalling things in the middle of doing them, right? So you're not making these connections. One of the things that happens as we sleep is our body takes our memories from the day and it packs them into long-term memory. And so if we don't have the oxygen to make that happen, then it's not going to happen, right? So every cell in your body requires oxygen to work. That's why we have red blood cells that bring oxygen all over our body. And so this article makes complete sense. You know, I find more and more of the articles that I read, it's like, well, yeah, of course. Why did we spend money on researching that? I could have told you, but we do have this need to actually prove what's going on
at
times.
And so, where was that? Does it say where that study was done?
This study was done Marshall University.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, the study was supported by the Ministry of Science and Technology of the People's Republic of China, the National Institute of Health, and the John C. Edwards School of Medicine at Marshall University.
Okay.
So,
I mean, that does make sense that since your body depends on oxygen for so many functions, like basic muscle function, it depends on it for any type of exercise, it depends on oxygen, and brain function, as you mentioned as well. I mean, it only makes sense.
Right, right. And, you know, just again, we have evidence to show. We've studied it in a lab. This shows that what we thought was true, and I suppose that's the scientific process, right? We thought this was true. Let's test it. Let's see if it's actually true. And that oxygen, again, oxygen is super important. Oxygen is also deadly, though. You know, you get too much oxygen and you're going to have, you have what we call reactive oxygen species, right? Where these oxygens are going around and they're breaking things down. People think that water is really great and really healthy, but you get enough water and you can still drown.
Yeah.
Right? Water can be deadly. You look at what water can do over time, all you got to do is look at the Grand Canyon, right? So all these things have to work in this great balance to work properly. So,
yeah, it's really amazing how finely tuned we are to conditions on this planet.
Yes, yeah. You move off of this planet, and we don't do so well, you know?
Right.
You put the astronauts, you know, when they come back, they have bone problems, they have smaller brains, they have balance problems, and the reason our brain is so big is so that we can ambulate, so that we can move around and get places, so that we can continue to eat, right? So that we can get what we need to keep ourselves going. And when they're up there, they don't have gravity pulling them down all the time, so they don't need their bones to be as strong. They don't have as much input going into the brain because they're not pulled against gravity, so the body is not constantly making all these micro adjustments that it makes to keep us upright. And people don't really understand how much brain power it takes to move, or even to just to stay still. So that's out there. That's definitely something.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it really, really is. And, of course, we've also learned the hard way that you can't go with a strictly oxygen mix up in space as well, because that has
right.
dangerous effects, too.
Yeah, well, same thing, right? You get too much oxygen, you get the same kind of problems. Same kind of thing with divers, you know? They can't have too much straight oxygen, all that, so...
Now, at your place of business, do you treat any form of sleep apnea, or do you have any treatments for sleep apnea?
So, depending on how severe it is, obviously the medical route is the CPAP, right? Since you need a sleep study to get one of those, which they're getting better with those, but those always make me laugh. They're going to take you to a strange room with a strange bed, and they're going to hook a bunch of wires on you, and then they're going to see if you sleep well. Well, no, you didn't sleep well. If you did, that's amazing, right? You're a better sleeper than I am. They've changed that a lot, but that always cracked me up early on. Physically, though, your skull bones move, right? And there are times when working on your jaw, working on this upper palate, opening up the sinuses a little bit through manual... movement of them can sometimes help to alleviate some of those sleep apneic problems. They can come back because, you know, it's, again, it moved there in the first place. So sometimes it goes away forever, and sometimes it goes away till somebody gets hit in the head with the baseball. Sometimes it goes away until somebody sneezes. It's really just depends on a lot of different factors on the person and how bad their sinuses is. But and the other thing too is the neck, because that head has to drain out. If it's not draining properly through the neck, it gets stored up in the head, and then it just kind of expands and pushes on things that it shouldn't push on. Some of the sleep apnea is physical, and some of it is just the brain not working right. And we can deal with some of the physical stuff. There are things that people do to help that brain to work better, but I don't focus on that a lot in my clinic. So.
Understand. But fascinating information that you provided. I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you've got coming up. We're coming up on 9:28 here on the Mary Griffith Show. Our guest, Dr. Brandon Barini, and we're finding out more about just alternative ways to treat certain problems. We'll have more coming up, but we need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take our first look at the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on the way on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary, and alongside is Dr. Brandon Breening, who's told us that sleep apnea is worse for you than we first thought. So, based on a recent study done at Marshall University, so thank you for that. What other information do you have for us this morning in the time we've got left?
Yeah, well, I brought another article about glaucoma. They've found in the past that a person can... certain nutrients will help a person's eyes with glaucoma. Omega-3s, B3, vitamin A, vitamin C, lutein, zeaxanthin, all of these things they've studied, and it helps a person's glaucoma to not progress as quickly. There's a new study that focuses on choline and other B vitamins used in combination, and in the slower... version of glaucoma, it actually completely stopped the glaucoma progression. And in the more aggressive form, it slowed it significantly. There was research was done in Sweden. I won't even bother to try and pronounce the name of the Swedish institute that they did it at. But what they found is they used B6, B9, B12, and choline on some mice, and they found that it just stopped that optic nerve damage from continuing to happen, so that glaucoma did not progress, so these people could maintain the eyesight they had. So that's really fantastic news.
It really is. Now, how far along was the person, or in this instance the mice, was it at the beginning stages of the glaucoma diagnosis?
It didn't exactly say in there. That I'm sure that they had them at several different stages, but the sooner you do it, the better. And the nice thing about your B vitamins is if you take too many B vitamins, you just end up with really cool-colored pee. Because they're water-soluble. They're going to go out. You know, for me... personally, I'd rather have expensive pee and know that I'm getting enough of these nutrients that lots and lots of studies have shown, so many of the things that we've thought through history that were diseases, pathogen-based, turned out to be vitamin deficiencies. Scurvy is a great example of that. They thought people were getting the scurvy disease, but they just didn't get enough vitamin C. Mm-hmm. So B vitamins, choline, they're also kind of on the cheap side when it comes to your vitamins. So a good B vitamin is worth its weight in gold, maybe. It's cheaper than gold, that's for sure.
That's true.
Thing you want to make sure of, if you're getting your B vitamins, especially B9, most people have a genetic defect to where they cannot methylate B9. So if they get folic acid, their body looks at it and says, I don't know what to do with you. Right. So it's about 50% of the population that has this genetic SNP. So you want to make sure that you get your B9 in a folate version. A methyl tetrahydryl folate is usually something along those lines. It's a really big, long word, but you want the word folate.
Okay, so that's just a different type of a pill that I would take then?
So it's same B vitamins. Most of the good companies now don't even produce folic acid. They don't sell it, but you know, you get the cheap B vitamin stuff, and you're going to see folic acid instead of this methylated folate because it takes more work to get it methylated already. So the other nice thing is the body can use that methyl group for lots of other things. So helps your body to detox certain things. It adds that methyl group onto something else, and away it goes.
Okay.
Estrogen in particular.
Okay. If I was the type of person who was like, I'm not really crazy about swallowing a bunch of pills, do you know what foods I would need to eat in order to get a bunch of B vitamins? Is this like in the nuts and legumes and things like that? Or
You're putting me on the spot.
Okay.
There are... it'd be an easy search to figure out what foods you can get, but you definitely want more than the RDA. If you look at B vitamin supplementation, when it puts it up against the RDA, you're getting thousands of percent more oftentimes, especially that B9, B12. B12 is interesting because you could go without B12 if you had enough B9, but it doesn't work as well as B12. So
okay.
There are a lot of people that run around with a B12 deficiency that don't even know it.
So. Sure, sure. But then again, as long as it's methylated, as you said, then if you have thousands over the FDA, then you're fine?
Well, it's just going to go right out.
Oh, okay.
If you don't need it,
okay.
Right? Because it's water-soluble.
Okay.
So, unlike, say, a vitamin D, A, K, those are fat soluble. So you can, if you take too much of that, they can become toxic for your body. So when you do a B vitamin that is thousands over the RDA, which is just the minimum amount you need to not be sick, then those thousands over on those water soluble, you take all of it that you need and all of it that you can in at the time. And deposit the rest.
Okay. So the best thing to do would really to see somebody that you trust about the levels that you would want to take in order to, if you're worried about having glaucoma, just talk to somebody who knows and get set up on the on a daily program of what pills.
I don't think they put the amounts in there.
Okay.
But
somebody like you, for instance, at your store, you would be able to say, take this amount, this number of pills a day, take this amount. Okay, very good. And you can, according to this study at least, you can help with some of the effects of glaucoma.
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Brandon Breening, boy, the time goes by when we're having fun, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it as well. And we will see you again really, really soon.
Sounds good. See you next month.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll talk it over with Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates about things going on with the Quincy Police Department, and also if he's heard of anything with the terms of flooding or things like that after the results of last night's storms, and lots, lots more. On the way, on The Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Nothing like a little Joe Walsh on a Tuesday morning to get you going. Welcome in. It's The Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary. And alongside, one of my favorite chats to always have is with the Chief of Police of the Quincy Police Department, Adam Yates. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Scott. It's good to be here.
It's good to see you again. It's like Mary is sick for some reason, and it's like I'm here again to talk to you, which I don't mind at all.
And neither do I. We hope Mary gets better, but I always enjoy our chat, so looking forward to it.
So I wanted to ask you, first of all, record amount of rainfall in the city. Much calls on that in terms of like people being stuck or anything?
Not that I'm aware. I did see a couple of calls from last night that had to do with water rescues. I'm not really sure of the circumstances. I know the fire department responded to a couple of those, is my understanding. But as far as any major road closures or issues like that, nothing this morning that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right, then. I wanted to double-check with you about that because I figured if nothing else, you would have heard about something.
Right.
So, 2.6. Some folks got like over 4 north of town. So, it's pretty amazing stuff here. But that's out of the way. I wanted to ask you here, the design of the police cars, that's actually changing. It's like it's taken me a little bit to get used to the fact that you're moving away from the actual black and whites.
Right. And so, you know, there's been a lot of questions about that, and I think they're good questions. And I think when you think about why the change is being made, it makes a lot of sense. So the police cars that we buy come black. In order for us to put the white doors and the white hood, we have to wrap those with one of our local sign companies, which costs us money. And what we have found over the years is, especially the white doors, they get dinged up pretty good by the officers getting in and out and the various things that go on. And within usually just a couple of months, they look pretty bad. And we're, you know, obviously we want to try to portray a professional image. So, you know, for several years, we were looking at different options. We wanted some thoughts from the officers and what they might like to see. So what we did, literally, and some people don't even realize this, is we literally, the logos are all the same on the car. They're just a different color. They're kind of a reflective gray and blue, but they're the exact same logos that were on the previous black and white cars. And then we just don't put the white wrap on the doors and the other areas of the car that were white. So it really is the same design. It's just that we took away the white because it ended up getting dinged up. It didn't look good. And ultimately, in the long run, it costs us now less money to outfit each car. So there's a cost savings. There's a practical application. And we like the fact that these particular logos are as reflective as they are at night. It helps the motoring public see our cars even better. So it's a safety thing, it's an efficiency thing, and you know, it was time for a change.
Right. And that's what you want. You want your cars to be able to be seen at night, just for no other reason, just to let folks know you're there, but also it's a nice way to, you know, it's a psychological thing where it's like basically slow down.
Slow down. An officer, if the car's in the street, an officer probably is as well. So we want to make sure we keep our officers safe and, you know, everyone else.
Right, exactly. One thing that I wanted to get into that you've had to deal with here over the past couple of months, but it just came to light this week, is one of the people that you have put in a leadership position had to undergo a reprimand with Lieutenant Tyler, I understand, in terms of dealing with several officers. If you just wanted to speak to that real quick.
Well, Deputy Chief Tyler.
Deputy Chief, okay.
And yeah, I think there's enough information out in the various media organizations now that pretty much cover everything that needs to be said about that. I guess the one thing I will add is normally the Quincy Police Department does not discuss internal personnel disciplinary matters. In this particular case, because it was a deputy chief and information had apparently been leaked to the media about this, Mike and I got together, had a conversation, decided that it would probably be in our best interest to be transparent. We could have always hid behind, hey, we don't discuss disciplinary matters, but the public has a right to know. Mike had already released the reprimand to the entire police department, as well as an email apologizing for what happened. So it wasn't any secret what was going on. So he and I had no issues whatsoever letting the public know that, you know, there was a mistake. That there was discipline for that mistake, and we're going to move forward and improve.
All right, so that's just moving forward with that and everything back to status quo, and the rest of it, though, will be handled in a way that we really won't hear too much about.
I would hope not.
Okay. All right, then. Wanted to check with you about that just to get that out of the way. Of course, it doesn't feel like it today, but summer is on its way.
It is.
And that's kind of your busy season.
It is. It's always our busy season. More calls for service, more people out and about. Kids are not in school anymore, so they're finding ways to occupy their time. We always hope constructively, sometimes not so much, which then involves us. So we do expect and are prepared for the call for service increase that come with the summer months.
All right. Yeah. And but to one thing, I'm sure, because this has always been a problem as long as I've lived here, and I've lived here for, oh gosh, 36 years, is during the school year, kids will find a way to cross Broadway to get to the McDonald's at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they see all the cars, but sometimes they don't.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know how, you know, other than getting with the state of Illinois and putting in a traffic light there that's activated by a person, I don't know how you solve that.
I don't either, and it's interesting because comparisons were made between the 14th and Broadway intersection and the 25th and Broadway intersection. And what you often find, believe it or not, is that when you do have a traffic light, you actually have more crashes with both vehicles and pedestrians than you do at what we would call an uncontrolled intersection like at 14th and Broadway. And people would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. But when you think about it, if I'm going to cross Broadway, or I'm a car that's pulling onto Broadway, and I'm at 25th and there's a traffic light, if the light's green, I'm just going to go. I'm not looking for the traffic that's going east and west. So if someone happens to run that red light going east or west, there's likely to be a crash. If I know it's a stop sign and I know I have to wait for the traffic on Broadway to be clear, I'm more likely to wait until it's safe for me to make that turn or to cross the intersection. And it works the same with pedestrians. So we actually looked at the numbers, and there were significantly more traffic crashes at 25th and Broadway with a traffic light than there are at 14th and Broadway. And what you find at 25th and Broadway is a lot of those traffic crashes are rear-end traffic crashes because somebody stops for the red light and the person behind them doesn't. So there are ultimately going to be more injuries with lighted intersections, especially in those thoroughfares like that. So yeah, there certainly could be some enhancements made at 14th and Broadway for the pedestrian crossing. It's a crosswalk. There's a sign. Cars are supposed to yield to pedestrians at the problem is, I think we just have an overall education issue, and we've been trying to work on that. But folks need to realize that when someone is getting ready to enter into a crosswalk, as a driver, you are obligated to stop and allow that person to cross the street. And right now, we just don't see that happening.
Yeah, and we have that problem right over your shoulder here at 4th and Broadway with residents here of the Lincoln Douglas building as well. They've been dealing with it as well. And again, it's on your side of things, there's really not much you can do.
I mean, we could write tickets, but the thing about it, and we tell people, is like, okay, well, you might be right in crossing the street, but when the car hits you, it's not going to work out well for you. So even if legally you were in the right place and doing the right thing, it's not going to keep you from getting injured. So it does make sense to just be aware of traffic, be very careful when you're crossing the street. But it's also, I mean, as far as resources go, it's hard to just set an officer out there and write tickets for people that are not obeying, you know, the pedestrian traffic laws. And so, yeah, it's a very difficult situation to try to resolve.
It is, because the way that this light is set up, for instance, it's actually, if I am leaving from this building, it's actually easier for a person to wait for the light to cross Broadway and to get on the south side of the street, and then to cross 4th Street that way with the light at 4th Street, which is a shorter light.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to do that, even though you may just want to go to Washington Park.
Right.
But you got to go the long way in order to do
it. Well, when I was coming, I parked across the street to get here, just adjacent to Washington Park, and hit the walk button, and I never did get the green light. I never did get the walk signal.
Yeah.
You know, so it's unfortunate. You know, they're supposed to be, and they are, timed, and there's a reason and a method to what goes on there. But, yeah, you're right, because when you get on the other side of the street, you're not dealing with cars that are trying to turn right onto 4th Street. So you're actually dealing with much less traffic.
Yeah, this trying to cross from Washington Park just across the street to this building, it you might as well roll dice.
Yeah.
You really do. So
you have to be very careful.
You do. You absolutely do. 952. We'll talk more with Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates when we come back here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back. It's the Mary Griffith Show, 954 on a cloudy day. As we watch pillars going up across the street at the historical building, the Historical Society building, the museum there at Quincy and Adams County, right here at 4th and Main Street. Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates is alongside, and some of your officers took part last week in a rather big detail. That's the first that has been done in a couple of months about getting people wanted on warrants.
Yeah, we have been doing narcotics details in the past. We would do about one a month, and it's just a joint effort between ourselves, the Sheriff's Department, the West Central Illinois Task Force, and the Illinois State Police, where we basically just focus efforts on going out and, you know, tracking down folks with warrants that are related to narcotics investigations, any other major criminal warrants that we're aware of that maybe folks have been difficult to try to track down. So it's usually afternoon into the evening sort of effort. Again, like I said, a lot of participants from several different agencies. Teams are assigned specific folks to go look for specific issues to resolve, and they go out and they always do a really good job, do a lot of great work, and you know, we basically just try to get some of these criminals off the street.
Yeah, and it's just a full effort. I mean, local, you know, regional, state, and even federal. I mean, one person was arrested on federal warrant about allegedly selling over 50 grams of meth earlier this year in the city. So yeah. They all get caught up together, don't they?
Yeah, and the partnerships between the local law enforcement and our federal law enforcement partners is very strong, and we work well together, and this is exactly why, because, you know, it's always a joint effort. It's always a team event, and I mean, no one person's able to go out and do this on their own, so we see a lot of success.
So it's not like what you often see on TV where the federals come in and just say, "We're here, we're taking over, you know, you can step down."
You know, I've never, in 25 years, never experienced that. You know, a lot of times it's just a coordinated effort between the agencies to decide who's going to lead the investigation because of the route that you ultimately want it to take through the court system. But I've never experienced where the federal government has come in and said, "Hey, we're going to do this, you guys no longer have anything to do with it." In fact, usually the federal government is relying on our officers previous reports and to assist with additional investigative work that needs to be done in order to get the case to prosecution. So it's always been really good partnerships, and we appreciate that.
That's good. That's good. I had a question about the West Central Illinois Task Force and these combined task force. You'll have several officers go. Are they more or less just like when they're with the task force? Are they more? They're still technically QPD officers, but they work more for the task force then?
They're assigned to the task force. Okay. As their assignment, so they work at a different location. They answer to a supervisor at the task force. Yeah, they are still technically a Quincy police officer. They get paid by the city of Quincy. There are grants that are associated with the task force that help cover overtime and things like that. But the Illinois State Police is in charge of the task force. And then the officers that we assign to the task force are credentialed by the Illinois State Police. And in some cases, they're actually credentialed by the federal government. So they can do work through the federal government. They can do work anywhere in the state of Illinois as a credentialed inspector for the Illinois State Police. So it's a good partnership. It's a good way to get very complex investigations done because, you know, bad guys don't always stop at the city limits of Quincy. So we have to have folks that are able to move around fluidly and do the work that needs to be done.
So it's really a compliment to the officer involved if they're selected to the task force then, right?
It's a pretty elite position. There's a lot of interest in it among folks in our department. And, the selection process is pretty rigorous. So, and not only that, then once they get selected, getting through all of the requirements, the background investigations, the credentialing, everything like that is another lengthy process. So, yeah, it's a lot for the officer.
I figured it would. In the minute that we have left, is there anything else that you want folks to know about coming up here with the department or activities or things like that?
I don't know about things with the department. I think one of the concerns that we continue to deal with is traffic issues on Broadway and speeding and just unsafe conditions for our construction workers. And, you know, just so everyone knows, we've been out there, we've been writing tickets, stopping cars, observing traffic violations. And we're going to continue to do that. I mean, obviously 12th to 18th on Broadway is very dangerous right now. If you can avoid Broadway altogether, we ask that you do that. But if you're going to drive from 12th to 18th on Broadway, we expect that you're going to stay under the speed limit. Pay attention. We just want everybody to be safe. We don't want to have to write tickets, but sometimes that's the only way you can get folks' attention. So we're out there doing that. We want everyone to be safe. No matter where you're going in Quincy, pay attention, stay off your phone, drive the speed limit, and we shouldn't have any issues.
Yeah, now through Tuesday morning, you're going to be seeing more officers, too, for the Memorial Day holiday as well. So,
exactly.
Chief Yates, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
All righty. Stay tuned. The Ramsey Show is next on WTAD.